never rests.
Getting careless in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I am Jake Rowe. He is Rusty Mansell. And we are presented by our friends over at American Pride Bank. As always, American Pride Bank's the bank for your small business owner, and you want local, fast, flexible solutions, whether you're looking for a loan to expand or you need everyday banking. We got you covered over at American Pride Bank. You'll always talk to a decision maker. Visit them at one of their locations in Georgia or online at American Pride Bank. American Pride Bank, growing businesses nationwide, member FDIC, and an equal top opportunity employer. This is the Georgia Show, and we couldn't quite get to you late last week. Had a lot going on there and had some things to figure out from the technical side, but we are here now. And Rusty, there's so much to talk about because Georgia's lost a couple guys. They've added a couple guys. It continues to kind of look different at times on the recruiting trail for Georgia and this class. And I was looking at some numbers earlier, and this class is certainly stacking up. But I think we first have to kind of point to the fact that, Georgia did miss on some guys. They had a couple of misses there, but they've also had some big-time additions. And I can't help but think about this class. I like this as much as any classes I've seen Georgia sign under Kirby Smart.
May 1st, I would have said Georgia's got no chance of being the number one class in the country. They've got a real chance to have the number one class in the country. And that's with some misses. I told you what they're doing now. Obviously some headliners, the James Johnson, Tyler Atkinson, all that still, but you wind up getting Bowden Sohn. You get Nick Abrams, some other guys, those positions. Georgia got a chance to be the number one recruiting class in America when this thing's all said and done. They're not done. And this thing's not over. Got to go all the way to December with this stuff. So what Georgia does, I should have never really doubted them, but my God, man, from where they came May the 5th, they were 18th. They'll probably be two, whatever, going into this week. And that's wild, man. And today's landscape of recruiting and everything that's going on, freaking Georgia is you got a chance to have number one recruiting class in the country, man. It says a lot about Kirby Smart and how things are at Georgia.
Yeah, and honestly, I love kind of the upside and the upward mobility of a lot of these guys. I'm not going to sit here and predict that a bunch of guys are going to rise up the rankings, but when you look at like Lincoln Keys and even Chase Calicut and Valdine Sohn Caden Prothrow, and if they're able to get Anthony Lunnan, we're going to look at a lot of these guys tonight as we're talking about, this class. I just like what they're bringing in. And I guess we'll start here, Rusty, with Valdine Sohn. We talked about him a lot. Valdine Sohn is a Georgia Bulldog and is a part of the class now. For all intents and purposes, you basically said it. We talked about it a lot. Number one target. Maybe the number one defensive target on him and Jared Curtis might have been the top two guys when all was said and done. Why? Why was it that Georgia felt like we had to be all in on this guy?
So he went to Auburn, I believe, that very first weekend, like the weekend right after Memorial Day. That Memorial Day was that Monday. We had one weekend left of May. And then I think June the 1st was that Sunday, I believe, something like that. He came over and he went to an OV at Auburn. Well, he got straight to Georgia on that Sunday afternoon late, and they worked him out. Anthony Lunnan right there. They worked Bowden Sohn out that night on an unofficial visit. And pretty much from then on out, it changed everything for him with Georgia. I mean, Georgia was recruiting him. Granted, and they went to Virginia to see this young man's from Sweden, but he plays in Virginia. Last year, he's 315 pounds. This kid's like a lot of huge. He's a background soccer player. Just grew into this super freak defensive lineman. It's got so much to learn. But I can tell you this: Georgia wants James Johnson. They would love to have James Johnson. They're going to continue to recruit James Johnson. He is a damn good football player. And many think he's one of the top two or three defensive linemen in this class. I don't care what Bowden Sohn is ranked right now. I can tell you from the Georgia perspective, that was a guy they said we're not missing on, period. They were all in here, period. This is a 315-pound game-wrecking defensive lineman, and I think that Georgia felt like for what they asked their guys to do, for the fit at Georgia, for Trey Scott, this was their number one guy. And I said that, you know, before James Johnson committed to Georgia, and people were like, hey, man, calm down a little bit. Let me tell you something. I know a few things. Georgia wants James Johnson. They wanted James Johnson. They recruited the hell out of James. They're still trying to get James Johnson. But I'm telling you right now, this was the guy that Kirby Smart said, we're not missing him, period. And they did.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, it's self-explanatory if you watch this guy play and you look at how big he is. I mean, you saw it on the way in, 33.5-inch arm, 6'4", over 300 pounds. You know, Kirby Smart, I've heard him talk about it a number of times, having 300-pounders along the defensive line. And not only that, but 300-pounders who are athletic and constrained and are twitchy. I mean, that's how you build a fantastic run defenses, is you have big humans up front that can move. Guys that, hey, we're going to try to block you one-on-one, but you're going to pay for it at a really high rate if you do. And that's what he is. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you this guy's is a nose tackle. I think he could probably do that. But, you know, it's funny we're getting to this point in the thing. I mean, this guy's got football instincts. And, Rusty, I can tell you this. You know, we see guys all the time in the state of Georgia. Elijah Griffin probably fits this bill. Tyler Atkinson probably fits this bill. They've been working with trainers since they were in eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade. This cat right here was in Sweden playing soccer. Yeah. He's kind of got that Joseph Jonah John Yeh upside there.
Somebody had to introduce him to football, what, 2.5 years ago? Can you imagine when he goes, I get to hit people? Like, I get to hurt people, and that's good. I'm here. I'm good with that. There's no yellow card in this right here. You know, I don't want to get into all the football stuff, the real nerdy stuff. See that swim move right there? My goodness. You know, to be able to strike somebody and unlock your hips, that is something. I've watched some video of Trey Scott talking about, especially when Trey Scott was in North Carolina. To be able to gap control, it's not always creating a negative play. It is a guy like this that commands two people in front of you that allows those guys behind you to make plays. They're invaluable. And then when you get those one-on-one situations, it's hard to deal with this guy. You know, he's penetrating. He's making plays, negative tackles for losses, quarterback hurries. They're just hard to find, man. And I'm telling you right now, Georgia, they were all in. And in today's world, when I say all in, they were all in, because this was a big boy freaking recruitment. And this was one that Kirby Smart said, we're not missing. We're in this thing till the end. This kid wants to be at Georgia, and we're going to get to the number to where we can get this kid at Georgia. And, you see him talk about his quotes. He said that he could have made more money other places. And that's true. But this one, you don't get a discount with a player like this. You have to be all in on a player like this. There's only so many of these, man. There's only so many per class. I would say I hadn't done all the study, but I know historically, Jake, there's about 5 or 6 of these type in each class, and you got to get 1 or 2 of them in Georgia. So they got one last one in Elijah Griffin, and this is the guy that I certainly think it's every bit of worth mention. I don't know where he's going to end up in the rankings, but I know where he is for Georgia. And they felt like he was one of the top 4 or 5 defensive linemen in America, and they went after him.
Man, you look at this D-line class, Rusty, and what it can be too, because we'll talk about this in a minute. But I'm thinking about this D-line class, and I look at P.J. Dean as a defensive end. Carter Lucky is a 3-technique defensive end. Preston Carey as just a great big old nose tackle, maybe 3-technique type guy. Valdine Sohn's in there, 7 Clouds in there. Like, this is a very versatile, very big, very powerful defensive line class, and it's going to help out, you know, guys at the next level at the linebacker position. And Georgia also added Nick Abrams this week, this past week. And Tyler Atkinson did not break their way. I've been saying for a while, said it right here on the show, said it on the board. I had my doubts as to whether Tyler Atkinson was going to ever end up in a Georgia uniform. Never felt right. It's just one of those odd situations. But they go out and they get Nick Abrams, and nobody in their right mind is going to sit here and tell you Nick Abrams was a higher target on Georgia's board than Tyler Atkinson is. But one thing we do know about Nick Abrams is Georgia really very much loves Nick Abrams, and for obvious reasons. 6'2", I can't remember what his arms came in at
83 wing.
83 wings, you know, so that, that's different than arm measurements, but we're talking about a guy that's very long. And when you start this film up right here, you're going to see what we're talking about. I mean, this guy is very, reminds me a little bit of Alec Ogletree, just kind of the way he's put together.
Look at his arm right there. Can you go back to that? I mean, that dude's untying his shoes standing up.
Yeah. He's very long, and physics is a big part of this game. That's, you know, that's one piece of empirical data that you're going to see coaches lean on all the time is length. If this guy is longer than that guy, when it comes time to engage, he's in better shape. We've seen it in boxing and fighting for a long time. It's big in football too.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is a guy that turned 17 this week. He's got a lot, like talking about a lot left in. Look at him right there, a lot left in him. You know, from what I hear behind the scenes, he was basically talking with Glenn Schumann every day, and it wasn't recruiting stuff. He's like, Coach, can we talk ball? What's this? What's that? You know, he mentions. Academics was really important for him, and Terry College of Business at Georgia was something you don't hear brought up a lot, man. Just we used to hear that a lot. You don't hear things like that much. And you know, he said his parents felt like education wise he would get everything he could get at Georgia. You know, they got multiple Buckus Award winners, they got first rounders, but education was a big deal for him. And you know, his mom and dad, I think his dad's a finance major, and so, you know, education for them was also a big deal. So he checks a lot of boxes for Georgia. But physically, I think this young man at Georgia is one of those ones that Georgia just thought was a fit. And with Tyler Atkinson, or not without Tyler Atkinson, they wanted him. And, you know, Nick Abrams quickly became a big target for Georgia. Glenn Schumann went to Maryland twice. This young man took his official visit and got down to Georgia and Oregon. Everybody kind of thought Michigan for a while. But, you know, Michigan had some early momentum there, and for whatever reason, just kind of fell off for him. But, you know, Georgia and, you know, Georgia goes out and wins that one. Nick Abrams is one of these guys, man. I just felt like it's a great fit for Georgia, and you got to win these, man. You got to get these guys that fit what you're looking for and kind of fit the mentality for Georgia. Say it a million times. Kirby said it last week. Don't come to Georgia if you don't want to be coached hard. Don't come to Georgia if you don't want to get pushed. And I don't know if we ever talked about it, but Fran Brown on a great podcast said Kirby told him, you know, don't come here and coach if you can't handle me working you hard. Like, I'm going to push you too. And Fran said that's one of the things that he picked up. You know, I'm like, every day, there's not a single day off at Georgia. As a coach, there's not a day off. And, you know, you got to get the guys that are wired. How about – so I'm watching the Georgia-Texas games on right now.
Okay.
And which Graham, the first one.
Okay.
I forgot they were up 20-0, but this is the play that Jalen Walker, you know, walks down Arch Manning on that third down where he thought he was going to get an opening and he winds up with a 2-yard off. That brought me to Jalen Walker. How about Jalen Walker hosting Shedarius Tootle and Nick Abrams on that off weekend he had in Atlanta? My man went 2-for-2 for Georgia in this class. Not hosting, but he was around these guys, spent a lot of time, came to the building, took pictures of those guys. Man, if you don't think Jalen Walker's not a damn good dog, my goodness, man.
Yeah, not going to shock me if one day, you know, considering his dad and everything's coaching,
no doubt,
Walker very ends up in this game at some point. Coming back, him and Nolan Smith have always kind of been the guys that kind of pointed to with that. But Rusty, there's a chance here very soon, next couple weeks, George is going to add another commitment. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about our friends over at Sun Heist. Listen, go over to sunheist.com. We've talked about them over and over and over again. Shane and Mary Heist, they live in Jefferson. This is very local to Athens, Georgia-based business, Georgia small business. They're doing an incredible job. We love their product. I can't speak highly enough about it. I've got a pair of Hemlock Aviators that I wear every day of my life. I've sat on them. I've sat groceries on top of them. They've fallen out of the truck. They've fallen out of the I've done everything I could possibly do to them. They're not warped. They're not scratched. And if they were, you'd return them for a lifetime warranty because they've got a lifetime warranty. Shane says they've got injected polarization, which means they won't delaminate over time. And little birdie tells me they're working with the University of Georgia on a licensing agreement to maybe offer some UGA-specific sunglasses. When they have those, I'll let you know. They're going to be in Asheville this coming weekend. This coming weekend at a widespread panic type deal. So if you're going to be up there, they're going to be up there in person. Try them on, and you can in person use the promo code DOGSHQ20 for 20% off of your order with sunheist.com. They're our friends. We love them. We appreciate them. And certainly they help us bring you the Georgia show as you know it. But Rusty, listen, there's one more recruit I want to get to here. And this is a guy that actually accidentally showed his film here before I showed anybody else, is Anthony Lunnan. And looks like this one for now, and these things can always change. This cat plays his high school ball about a mile and a half, if that, from the Georgia campus. As the crow flies, it's probably less than that from the Georgia football hub. But Anthony Lunnan, we've talked about him on this show. I love what this cat brings to the table, and I know you do too.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you got to trust the stats. And, this is – people kept asking me, can you get – I got him at 6'2", 266 pounds in March at my MVP camp. At Georgia, he was right at 6'2", 271 pounds. And I gave a comparison to Grady Jarrett. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is Grady Jarrett, I don't know if people follow me on X or whatever. I tweeted a couple of pictures the other night from Dog Night. Grady Jarrett, right before his senior year, came to Georgia and worked out. He was 6'5", 255 pounds. And you know why everybody passed on him, okay? And everybody did. Kudos to Clemson. He's a small guy, state championship wrestler. Here's the thing that I never forgot about Grady Jarrett. His senior year, he had like 32 or 33 tackles for loss, Jake. Just crazy productive numbers. I want you to look at the amount of tackles for loss and the amount of penetration right now that you see. This is 1 year, Jake. This isn't a four-year take. This is a one-year take. Look how much he is penetrating the backfield, wrecking havoc. This guy's a problem. Look at that. I mean, that first step is so damn quick. I'm telling you right
now.
That's
how you get off the field on third down, on third and, yeah. and one and yes. a half right there. Yes. Dudes like that right there.
I'm telling you, man, this guy right here and I'll say it here. I can now. Statute of limitations are up. I remember when Dan Lanning took Chaz Chambliss, and he told me, he said, Rusty, this guy's tape is too good. I don't want to play against this guy. This guy's going to help us. He might not start until his third or fourth year. And he was damn spot on. This guy was a two-year starter at Georgia. He did what he was asked to do, and he was a high-effort guy, and he was a problem. This guy is more of a game wrecker, but you got to trust the tape sometimes. And I think he's going to end up at Georgia. You know, his dad played tight end, Anthony Lunnan Sr. From Screven County, baby. Started there. And Big Ant is in at Clark Central. I think he's helping coach there. And, you know, he kept calling me, man. He goes, man, what are people – like, my son's got all these stats, and what's going on? And I said, Anthony, I need to get a measurement. Can you – you know, he had offers. I said, can you bring him to my camp? Let me get a verified height and weight on him, and we'll see where it goes, because I know he's got tape. And then he comes and works out, and I see him in person. I was like, damn, he's big enough. He's a lot bigger than I thought. I thought he was 6'5". I thought he was 6'5", Jake. I really did. But I'm just telling you, man, this guy right here, I mean, this is one year. Look at Jefferson. This is Jefferson. Now, this is freaking good. This is a team that played for the state championship. Yeah. Look at the motor going down the field, chasing balls down. I'm just telling you, man, you know, I know what Georgia's thinking. You want this guy, and you don't want to play against him. And if they don't get him, he's going to Georgia Tech. You don't want a Georgia legacy there. You don't want a guy like this, because I'm telling you, man, 2 years from now, this guy's going to be a freaking problem in college football. I'm telling you, this guy's a damn – he gets after. I love his motor. He's big enough, and he's just one of those players that Georgia's going to take, and they're going to be better for it if they get him.
He's plenty big enough. I mean, if you're sitting there, the thing I like about it, and I posted this on our board, Rusty, was, you know, a lot of times the coaching staffs will tell a guy, hey, we want to do this, 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 and this with you. And I'm not saying it's false, but they relay a sense of opportunity for a guy. They want to say, hey, we could see you doing these bunch of different things. They told Anthony Lunnan, hey, they could see him playing anywhere from a 3 technique to a 9 technique. Now, if you want to know how many, you know, techniques that is, that's between the two. That's a 3, a 4, a 4i, a 5, a 6, a 6i, and a 9. So that's like, you know, six, 5 or 6 different techniques. Well, sometimes I believe that, sometimes I don't. And then you realize Glenn Schumann and Chidera Uzodiribie and Trey Scott are all communicating with this guy. Georgia understands that they've got to get a guy like that. They need a guy like this that can go wear a lot of different hats for them and just make plays. That can just wreck games. And like you pointed out, the motor is unbelievable. He doesn't stop playing.
This is 1 year, Jake. This is 1 year.
1 year.
He plays 1 year of tape.
Really solid competition in that region.
Yeah.
I've coached in that region. I've seen the teams in that region. There are a lot of big linemen and good football players. And right now, Georgia's trending for him, Rusty. You know, Jeremy Johnson put in a pick. Steve Wiltfong put in a pick. I know you don't put in the RPM picks or anything like that, but as of today, I think we're feeling pretty good about Georgia's chances to land Anthony Lonan Jr.
Yeah, the way the landscape is, and you know, Steve Wiltfong and Chad Simmons and all those guys, they need to put in picks. That's part of their job. You know, part of my job is to let you know what I think is going on currently. And I think Georgia's in a good spot. We're going to see. I do know that Georgia Tech is – they know what they've got to do to get this young man, and you know what that involves. And they did it last year. Went and got a kid named Christian Garrett out of Prince Avenue who was committed to Georgia, kind of a similar build. They went and got him, and they did exactly what they needed to do to overcome hometown Georgia kid, growing up Georgia kid. They got him to decommit. This one's a little different, I think, with his dad playing at Georgia. So, you know, you got to hold off Tech at the end here. But I think right now I feel good about Georgia. I'm just telling you, man, this guy, anybody's followed me 15 years. I don't really try to gush too much. I don't want to put too much on these kids. I'm telling you right now, this kid's a damn baller, man. This kid's going to be a damn problem.
I tell you who he reminds me of more than anybody else, and I haven't heard this comparison in a very long time. I think he's got a little David Pollock to his game.
I agree. I didn't want to say that. You're talking about a three-time All-American. Yeah. But
it's so crazy how forgotten David Pollock is in a lot of ways. Like, you just don't hear him brought up. But he was unique. And I've told this story before. I went on a recruiting trip to Georgia for the Tennessee game in 2000. 2000. Yeah, that was right. When they goalpost game, they beat Tennessee for the first time in forever. And we take the elevator up at the Buttsmere building, and we get off on the third floor or fourth floor. I can't remember where we got off. It was either the roof floor or whatever. And we first get off the elevator, and the first person we see is David Pollock. And I remember my dad telling me, because we took Matthew on that visit, and he said, man, if Georgia's recruiting guys like this, I don't know. You know, because he was just kind of a chunky 6'1", 6'1½" type guy.
Donkey build, real thick lower body.
Yeah, just wasn't quite there. And, you know, come to find out they're recruiting him, didn't know if he's going to be a fullback, didn't know he's going to be a D lineman, obviously becomes one of the best players in Georgia history. And I look at Lonan and I see a guy that's not going to impress you as far as like just being a, you know, he's not one of those power forward looking D linemen like Georgia has sometimes. Okay. He doesn't quite look like that. But man, when you flip on that tape, and the number one thing for me is not getting in the backfield, not making those plays, and that's a big deal. It is the motor. He just will not, the strain will not let him stay blocked. And I like that. I like that in a player. And I think a guy like that is something at times Georgia's defense has been missing. I really do. Like, I think that when you've got guys like that, that's when you lead the SEC in sacks, because you've got a cat that you put in there that can make those plays for you on first and second down.
I'm in. Yeah, we can keep going. I'm in. See, Keith Simmons mentioned Josh Mallard there. Josh Mallard was kind of similar, so big lower body, but man, Josh Mallard was, he might've been 6'1", but he was, hell, he had a great motor too. And Josh Mallard might fit today's game a little bit better. You know what I mean? It's pass, it's such a pass happy offense. It's a great pass rusher, but
yeah, he always had a natural pass rush to him too. There was just something about the way he knew how to beat blocks in the pass rush.
Dude just put his shoulder pads and jersey on. If it wore mouthpiece, he was just after it, man.
I tell you what, if he's got, I don't know what Josh Millard's up to these days at all, but I imagine if he's somebody's rec league coach or middle school coach or something like that, coaching his son's team or something, man, they're getting a full dose of the intensity is what all I know. Is they used to call him Quadzilla.
way this world is today, I'm not sure that Josh Mallard's coaching a lot of youth teams right now. I bet you he's got a lot of old school in him, man.
That's funny.
He's got a lot of old school in him.
That is funny. Well, hey, listen, somebody else is pretty old school is our buddy Andy Ludicky over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. And when I say old school, I mean Andy gets his hands in there and he gets to work. If you are a displaced corporate executive or if you are just somebody that is looking to kind of put your own career and your own path in your own hands, Andy's your guy. Visit MyPerfectFranchise.net because Andy has thorough knowledge of franchises, of running businesses, of opening businesses, of consulting with businesses, and he can help you kind of find your American dream. You know, whether you're looking for a chance to add on to what you've already got or whether you're trying to change course, Andy's the guy you need to talk to. He can get you connected with a franchise. He can get you connected with a path forward and a path to kind of be your own boss. And his thorough consultation and evaluation process will set you up in a good position to make some decisions and change things for yourself. So visit MyPerfectFranchise.net, contact Andy, and he'll get you sorted out. We're confident in that. Rusty, let's jump down to SEC Media Days now and get it all knocked out. It was once again, we won't get into my feelings on SEC Media Day. Roos and I did that on a radio show earlier today. But I hate them SEC Media Days, dude. I feel like by being there, I miss so much. Kirby said something that I wholly agree with, and I want to say something about Kirby real quick. Kirby's never been bad to me, but Kirby's never been good to me either. It's not like Kirby's ever sent me a birthday card or anything like that. He's never complimented me on asking good questions at press conferences. I'm not trying to say that this because I think Kirby just hung the moon. Kirby's a dude, in my opinion. He's just another guy, all right? But he's a great football coach. And he said something at SEC Media Days that I couldn't agree with more, Rusty, and it's about relationships over transactions. And as preachy as that might sound to some people, he makes an excellent point. When it comes time to push somebody to their limits, when it comes time to push somebody and call them on their BS and tell them that they're not being what they can possibly be, it's easier to do that when you've got a relationship and you're not just the guy's not there over a transaction. And I think Kirby values that. And I believe that Georgia is where it is because he values that. And I was all in on that comment. I really was.
I would imagine more people have the same philosophy. And let me explain the comment I'm about to make. When they're a problem in recruiting, they're going to be a problem on your team or they're going to be a problem in your locker room. And I don't mean like, like missing class or late for practice, all that. But when you value the transaction side more than what Georgia can provide you football-wise and development-wise and all that, and that's okay. I mean, that's until you sit in that chair, you don't quite understand the money these kids are dealing with. Georgia's trying to find the ones that want to be there, and I think KJ Bolden's KJ Bolden's a great example. KJ Bolden left money on the table to go to Georgia. He was a first-year starter. I guarantee you that KJ Bolden's not leaving money on the table anymore. I guarantee you KJ Bolden has made all that up and probably some. So, that's kind of the thing at Georgia. And look, Georgia might have the number one recruiting class in the country. I don't know we got a comment right here. If Kirby don't spend the money, he's going to get left behind. Kirby might have the number one recruiting class in the country, my man. You think that they're not spending? You know what I mean? I mean, they have to spend, but there comes a point to where the comment is made, we're going to get to a number. And if that number's not good enough, then you're going to probably go somewhere else. You know what I mean? I know you want to be at Georgia. Here's the number you want. Here's the number we're at. Let's talk about it. And if it's too far off, then it's not Georgia. And that's a really good philosophy to build your locker room. I think that Georgia right now, you're not going to win every battle. I say it on the board every time. If it's only about money, Georgia's not winning any of those. Georgia's not. They're not winning any of those. Kirby Smart's not going to pay a freshman more than he's paying a starter at Georgia. He's not going to do that. Now, if you come to Georgia and you produce, you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid real freaking money. And, it's It's the whole program right now. Georgia's one of those rare places still that sells the NFL value, a great education, and all of that to these recruits. And you know, not saying it's right or wrong. Sometimes you don't know every kid's story. You don't. But from the Georgia side, if it's only about money, you'll never make it at Georgia. You'll be somewhere else. I think you're on mute, Jake.
I don't even know how that happened.
It's time to go.
No, I guess the new era. You know, it's how we're doing it now. If Kirby don't spend that money, he's going to get left behind. Nobody's recruiting better than Georgia. Like nobody's. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Georgia's doing it better than everybody else, but nobody's doing it better than Georgia. Not a lot more consistently. We've even got Georgia fans talking about the depth is going to be depleted if they don't start paying money. Again, they're recruiting just as well as anybody else. Like that's not logical. Neighbor right here says Texas is becoming a problem, almost as big as Bama. You're gonna have to explain that one to me, because Bama's a problem because Bama beats Georgia on the field.
They're 1-6, Bama.
Yeah, Texas is the opposite of that right now. Georgia's beat them twice in the same season away from their own home stadium. Now, even if Texas comes into Athens and gets them this year, I mean, guys, listen, all of these teams are a problem. All of them are trying to get in the way. All of them are trying to get good players. Texas got a really good class going right now. Texas has got 7 top 100 players just like Georgia does. You know what? Georgia's got 13 the top 150. Texas has got like 9 of the top 150. Or I actually made maybe less than that, maybe 8 of the top 150. So, listen, there's all these different things that go into it. And I don't understand. It's almost counterintuitive if you really think about it, and kind of the way Georgia fans look at this stuff in terms of recruiting and program building. Do you trade your coach for anybody else in the country? All of you are going to say no. Okay, you're not going to trade him for anybody else. They're still recruiting at an extremely high level. If you look at this year's class, before this year and before last year, Rusty, all of the hand-wringing was over, hey, all of our classes are top-heavy on defense. We can't get any offensive five-stars other than linemen. Well, now Georgia's got their two top-rated commitments. Their two five-stars are a quarterback and a pass catcher, a kind of an all-purpose pass catcher there in Caden Prothro. And now we got something else to kind of get upset about. Man, listen, I've looked at this from a million different ways. I like this Georgia class as much as I have liked any other. And Texas did what it did. It had a rough summer before last week. Texas had a pretty pitiful summer.
Let me tell you something. I'll say this about Texas. The week before they got Tyler Atkinson and James Johnson, they had a very bad week. They lost Jalen Lott to Oregon. Mm-hmm. They lost Braden Rouse to Tennessee. They lost Xavier Griffin to Alabama. Dude, they went like 0-5 the week before. Caden, and unfortunately, Caden Prothro to Georgia. Unfortunately for Georgia, probably, they sit there and look today. We just went 0-5. We're not going 0-2 this week. We've got this pile of money. We're putting it in those guys because they went after Braden Rouse and they lost him to Tennessee. And talking to Chad, he goes, man, Texas is not playing around with. I kind of thought he was going to Texas, and Tennessee was able to keep him. And then you look at Xavier Griffin out of Gainesville. I mean, this guy, Texas. So Texas had a really rough week. And then they signed Tyler Atkinson or get him committed and, James Johnson. So it is what it is. But, you know, you win some and lose some. So, again, the days of stacking, kid on top of kid on top of kid, those are over. And the today's landscape, you look at what Georgia's done. I would probably told you in May when Georgia was sitting 18th, if Georgia gets to 5 or if Georgia gets to 4 in the final rankings, that's a really good job. They won some really big battles. Guys, they got a chance to be number one. They got a chance to be number one. And, so if that means something to you, I mean, they got a chance to have the number one recruiting class in America.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, man, I'm all for my man Eunice here. Listen, they've been making $1 billion off these kids. I don't know who individually made $1 billion off these kids. It's a $1 billion business. There's a lot of money exchanged hands. These guys are making great money now. They're making amazing money now, and they deserve it. I wrote a column about it today. Kids deserve a chance to transfer. They deserve a chance to make a bunch of money. I totally get all that. I'm not saying it's not, but, you know, that's a different issue than, you know, somebody getting left behind as far as this whole thing goes. And, Rusty, let's get to this real quick. All SEC honors have been preseason, have been put out there. Georgia had nobody on the first-team offense. Not shocked. They got a lot of good players, but not anybody that's really proven themselves to be a first-team All-SEC player. Four players. Georgia just lost three defensive players to the first round of the NFL draft, and they've got four preseason All-SEC first-team guys. Christian Miller, C.J. Allen, K.J. Bolden, and Dalen Everett. Really like the makeup of that Georgia defense. Something I have never, ever before in my life seen, Rusty. Georgia swept the first-team special team slot. On all preseason, all SEC team. Brett Thorson, Peyton Woodring, Bo Gardner, and Zach Branch. I'm surprised since that list has come out that we've been able to dry you out long enough to have a show, because I figured you would be in a bottle celebrating somewhere over there.
I'm just going to have a moment. I mean, I'm going to be some time alone, and, you know, might throw on an old CD or old Key Sweat or whatever, and get out a nice good old bottle and listen to that. But that was special to me, and that tells you, the defense too. We go back and look, you know, C.J. Allen. I got a chance to talk to him just for a second. He was kind of stuck in between interviews, and I walked up and talked to him, and he looked good. Say he was healthy, and I played pretty banged up last year at times, and I think he's a little bit heavy. He looked good to me. And this is a guy that's clearly right now, you know, I said it on our board during their summer testing. I think he ran 4.52, 4.53. And, you know, that's rolling for a backer. And you start talking about first round numbers. Now there's a number there that, that will jump out on you. You know, Nick Chubb ran 4.51 at the combine.
Yeah.
So it tells you CJ's rolling. So, I had a guy in the comments. You don't have to scroll up to it, but we did see there was a guy said he had a 6-hour drive and he hopes his show. He's going down to the beach and he hopes his show lasts up for 6 hours. So it ain't gonna last 6 hours, but safe travels. A couple of questions here from the comments. Who are the leaders on each side of the ball? I think C.J. Allen and Dalen Everett are the guys, obviously, on defense. Christian Miller's got a voice there, but obviously those two guys coming over. I think that you know, even though he's not technically number the starting quarterback yet, which Kirby bringing him kind of tells you. I think Gunner's a guy there. I think Drew Bobo's a guy that carries a lot of weight in the locker room, and he's a guy that, you know, is going to start for Georgia this year after filling in for Jarrett Wilson a lot. He's a guy. Ernest Green is another guy you hear a lot about. So, you always hear this stuff, but just kind of the buzz around this. You know, don't know that I heard this last year. Don't know that it wasn't the case behind the scenes, but kind of seems like this team's pretty tight. They do a lot of stuff together. You know, you see Nate Frazier out fishing with guys. You see, you know, guys going out and playing golf together. You get to see all the social media, get to see different things, doing different things. Seems like a pretty tight-knit group to me, and we'll see how that pays off. You know, camp's coming. Justin Williams is the guy you're asking about. Number one linebacker in America that came to Texas, out of Texas 2 years ago. That was a 5-star. Georgia went and got him. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to be an absolute damn baller in Athens. Don't forget about him and Chris Cole. So there's going to be some of those things.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And Rusty, to finish out the all SEC teams, that was the kind of the seven first team guys that made the first team. You had Oscar Delp on the second team offense, Nate Frazier and Ernest Green on the third team offense. I don't know if there was another Georgia defender that made the list at all, which was kind of, I guess it was eight first-team guys, and then those three offensive players kind of trickling in there. None of them really surprising to me. I don't know that I had a Georgia player on my first-team offense whenever I voted for the ballot either. I did have I'm pretty sure that I voted at least three of those four to first-team defense. I might not have voted Christian Miller in. I think I had him second-team. I did have Delp on the second team offense. I think I even had Nate Frazier on the second team offense, And I don't know that I had a Georgia offensive lineman in there. I was actually kind of rooting for a little reverse rat poison for Georgia's O-line in the preseason, maybe a little bit more disrespect for them. Maybe they didn't get any help there. But, Rusty, the one thing we got to talk about here real quick before we let everybody go is the season is a little closer than you think it is, especially for Georgia football coaches. The work has been going on. The work never really stopped, but the next phase of work, that work that gets you ready for preseason camp, that gets you ready for the season, is about to happen.
Yeah, and it starts tomorrow. Georgia staff goes back to work tomorrow. I think they go back full-time tomorrow. I think they're off next Monday. You get one day off, so they'll work all week, and you're off Saturday and Sunday, you know, kind of a last, quote-unquote, last supper. They'll be in all week and kind of meetings. You know, there'll be some stuff they get to do with the team. And then I think the staff is off next Monday, kind of a whatever day. And that's it. You're not off again until the Friday night of the first off week. Most of those guys will be on the road that Friday going to schools. Might be at a game or two, but not really off until that Saturday. They'll get around and watch college football. So if you want to, like, go time, it's go time. Speaking of time. So I got, what's the name? John Tweet Sports, my guy John, he got me. He got me on the edit, got me on the Bojangles and all that, which was cool. He got me, if you hadn't seen it, yeah, it's on my Twitter and on my Instagram, and it was a kind of a playoff, the Coldplay issue, and it had me hugging a box of Bojangles. Well, lo and behold, I get a DM from Bo Walker, and he goes, hey, I need Bojangles. Like, I need that. I'm bow time. Like, I need that. And I thought, you know what? If Bojangles is damn listening to anything I do, then you need to get in on Bo Walker NIL. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, you're missing the whole thing if you don't get on that guy for bow time. And I thought that was funny yesterday of all the DMs I got, everybody enjoying that. It was good work. Obviously, it was Al created there, AI created, But yeah, that was funny. He kind of DM'd me, say, I need to be Bojangles, man. I'm bow time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, folks. Well, listen. What's that?
I thought you were on mute there for a second. You couldn't give me two mutes in the first one back, man.
No, I wasn't on mute there for a second. There was something got a little squirrely there for a second, though. I don't know what happened, but listen, we appreciate everybody for watching tonight. That's all we got for this one. Georgia's about to get back to work. Keep your eyes open here in the next couple weeks for another commitment. And we'll later on this week, there's no doubt in my mind there's going to be something to share. There's going to be some news. Keep your eyes out for another Dogs HQ Plus as well. We'll be all over that. Come on over to Dogs HQ and visit us. Thank you so much to American Pride Bank. Thank you so much to Sun Heist. And we really appreciate My Perfect Franchise as well. Y'all have a good evening.